From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with this study of the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, The Obligation of Christians to Make the Gospel Known in All the World. In verses 13 through 15 of chapter 1 of the epistle, we see something of Paul's heart for preaching the gospel. Having been saved from his sins by the power of Christ, the apostle felt that he had a debt to bring the good news of salvation to as many people as possible. Although much of Romans is devoted to deep theological truth, Paul believed that theology cannot and should not be separated from the gospel. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the introduction to this message. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, It Will Not Be Long. The text is James chapter 5 and verse 8. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The last word in the canticle of love is, Make haste, my beloved. And among the last words of the Apocalypse we read, The Spirit and the Bride say, Come, to which the heavenly Bridegroom answers, Surely I come quickly. Love longs for the glorious appearing of the Lord, and enjoys this sweet promise, The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. This stays our minds as to the future. We look out with hope through this window. This sacred window of agate lets in a flood of light upon the present, and puts us into fine condition for the immediate work or for suffering. Are we tried? Then the nearness of our joy whispers patience. Are we growing weary because we do not see the harvest of our seed sowing? Again, this glorious truth cries to us, Be patient. Do our multiplied temptations cause us in the least to waver? Then the assurance that before long the Lord will be here preaches to us from this text, Establish your hearts. Be firm, be stable, be constant, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Soon will you hear the silver trumpets which announce the coming of your King. Be not in the least afraid. Hold the fort, for he is coming. Yea, he may appear this very day.
Final home, but until then, my heart will go.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
return tonight to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're reading verses 13 through 15 of Romans chapter 1. Now, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Amen. The Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of His precious word for His name's sake. Paul is reaching the climax of his memorable introductory statement to the Epistle of the Romans. He is just about to launch out into his central theme in this entire epistle, namely, the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, the gospel of justification by free grace through faith alone in Christ alone. And as he does so, the great apostle opens up his own heart for our inspection and lets us see something of the passion that consumes him. This is not the only place in the Epistle to the Romans that Paul does this. This is, by all admission, the most theological of all Paul's epistles. We may, in such a theological writing, expect to find little biography. And we would be dead wrong, because it is in this epistle that the apostle gives us not just some tantalizing details about his active life of service, that will come out as we continue tonight, but he also gives us some insights into the very depths of his being. For example, over in chapter 9 and in verses 1, 2, and 3, he says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I'm not going to try to expound that tonight. There is a tremendous controversy among grammarians and those who are skilled in translation as to whether verse 3, which is, if you want the technicality, an imperfect tense that says, I was wishing, whether that can have the conditional meaning, I could wish, or whether this is speaking of some time in his unconverted days. He was so zealous that he was willing to perish. Matters not to us for the moment. We'll deal with that if and when we live long enough to get to chapter 9. But it does show us the heart that beat within the breast of the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. But here we have this great burden also for the Jews. He mentions it in the next chapter, chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Here in this most theological of epistles, Paul takes aside the veil and lets us look into his own heart. And in doing so, he actually teaches us deep theology. Here are some powerful examples that teaches that the very deepest theology should never stray from the gospel. I'll tell you what, why students come to hate systematic theology. I'll tell you why they come to wish that theologians had never written their tomes. And it's because those who are teaching the subject have degenerated to such a position that it has become as dead and as dry as dust. And they have got wrapped up in the shroud of theological technicalities. And the fire no longer burns in their heart. When John Calvin wrote his Institutes of the Christian Religion, remember, it was to put backbone into the church in France when it was facing the fires of persecution. He wrote it as an apology for the Protestant Christian faith. It was an evangelistic treatise. And that's why it's so full of Christ. A far cry from the dry as dust theological lectures that serve no good purpose but the ego trips of so many so-called theologians who want people to think them wonderful scholars. What does it matter how great a scholar a man establishes himself to be if there is not the heartbeat of the gospel in the theology that he's preaching? All the great theologians, the truly great theologians, whether it's Augustine of Hippo for all his many mistakes, or whether it's John Calvin, or whether it's Martin Luther, or whether even, for all his great mistakes, it's a John Wesley. In them all, you'll find the gospel heartbeat in every one of them. And this is what you find in Paul. He's dealing with deep, deep, deep theology. But he will not stray into mere philosophy. He will not stray into dead logic. Oh, there's plenty of spirit-filled logic. But he submerses his soul and his message in the central truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul also shows that the deepest theological truths should never be treated without the most profound emotion. If a teacher of theology, and I know what I'm talking about, I was never a theologian, but it was my lot to teach the subject for many, many years. If a teacher of theology can teach it without his own soul being stirred to profound emotion, he should get any other job under the sun. But he should not defy the office of a teacher in the church. That's a scandal. Paul shows us that profound theology should never lose its vision for the perishing souls of men and women. Here's my heart, says the greatest theologian who ever lived. Here's my heart. And this is what he's showing us here in our text. We're getting a glimpse into the heart of the great apostle as he says, I stand ready to go to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. Now he says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Something of a favorite expression of Paul's when he wants to draw attention to something of particular importance. Just quickly look at chapter 11, 25, and you'll find in one of the deepest chapters in all the Bible, Romans chapter 11, he's speaking of the judicial blindness of the Jews, and he says, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now see what he's saying. Here's something of vast importance. By the way, if the Church of Jesus Christ had paid attention to what Paul was saying here, church history would have been very different, and the page of church history would not have been besmirched with the foul deeds of so-called Christians and their anti-Semitic rages as they went on the rampage, murdering, and I use the word advisedly, murdering the so-called Christ slayers of the Jews. History would have been different if they had learned what Paul was saying. I want you to pay attention to this, the relation of Israel and its blindness to the church. Over in 1 Corinthians, he uses the same thing in chapter 10 and in verse 1. I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and so on down. And then we have coming out of that the great warnings we should take the example that many people were in the cloud, but they didn't get into the promised land. Many people were in the cloud, but they became idolaters. And here is a warning. It's a very important warning. In chapter 8, verse 1 of the second epistle of Corinthians, he uses the same. And then over in 1 Thessalonians 4, you've got the best known of all in verse 13. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. So this is a favorite expression of the Apostle Paul's when he's wanting to draw attention to something of particular importance. And here in Romans 1, he's using this expression because he wants to impress upon these people that not only did he desire, as he has already said, to go to preach in Rome, but he had actually formed the purpose, and he had made the plans to go. I purposed to go. I had my mind made up on going. In other words, he's saying, I want you to understand this. To Paul, it was important that they would grasp it. And I think as I go on, you'll see why it was so important. Because on the face of it, this really doesn't fit in with what Paul writes in other places. This little statement, I would not have you ignorant, in every other case, it is linked to some great theological revelation, something of great importance. Here it seems to be linked with Paul simply saying, I had purpose to go to Rome. Well, that's true. But when you dig a little deeper and think, why does Paul use this? Why is it so important for these people to understand that for years he had been purposing to go to the city of Rome to preach the gospel? Well, put the statement in its context, and I think you'll see that there is a great theological revelation. I want you to follow it, because I think that very often the best of commentators miss this. I have read what other people say in the passage, and it is amazing how they jump about, because it is quite obvious that in most cases they miss the thread that joins it all together. How Paul is arriving at this great statement. Why is this in here? It's not incongruous. It is a theological revelation. And if I could sum it up, Paul is saying to these people, why is it important that you understand that I have been consumed with a purpose to visit Rome? Well, here it is. If I believe the gospel, then that gospel demands that I do everything in my power to make it known to people of every nation and of every class, including those in Rome. If I believe what I have been saying, if I believe the gospel, then I must preach the gospel. I must be on the stretch to get that gospel out.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.